Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And here we go, another episode of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com as we broadcast live from Studio A on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower on the beautiful, magnificent Mile. Chilly day out there today, Mr. Scott King. He is the man to my right. Follow him on Twitter at Scott King Media. I am Mike Jacobson. Follow me on Twitter at Jacobson Radio. You can follow everything Blackhawks Crazy at WGNRadio.com/Blackhawks or Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. I'm still shivering. I really am. I'm still shivering.
Yeah, I got a coat on. You got your hoodie on. It's weird. It's because it's feeling like it's been so hot for a while now.
I know. Well, we're spoiled. It's October 25th, And now we're complaining about 50-degree weather.
Right. It's just going to get worse, though. It's going to get, you know.
See, I hear it's not going to be that cold this winter that's going to be coming up here because fall rapidly is going away, believe it or not, and that we're going to get a lot of snow, though. Which kind of scares me, because remember last year, we really lucked out on the snow.
I think it's supposed to snow like Saturday, even.
Oh,
I
don't say that.
I think it's coming up. But who knows? We'll be here regardless, except when I have a baby.
When is that? What is your second child due?
Right around November 15th.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow, that's less than a month away. Man. Tick tock, tick tock.
It's coming. Got to get the podcast in.
I cannot imagine... I could imagine that your wife is very happy that that date is approaching rapidly.
Yes, she is. Yes.
It's at this point in the pregnancy that most women are like, just get this on.
Oh, yeah. And she's bigger this time. And she's ready. I think she's ready to get her body back and get that alien out.
Well, you can't sleep. You can't even relax and watch TV. You're just not comfortable.
Yeah. You're very sympathetic with pregnant ladies, aren't you?
I know.
You hear a lot about.
I do. Well, you know.
That's exactly how it is.
As a young woman myself, Scott, no, I'm kidding. But no, I can't. I seriously could not even imagine that because I don't even like going to bed when I'm like my stomach's full and I've eaten too much.
Too much Mexican.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, that was stupid. And I feel bad for myself when that happens. Having a human grow inside of me is a totally different thing. So I give all women out there all the credit in the world, but she'll be out of the hospital, in the hospital, and out of the hospital. Hopefully, in no time. 10 fingers, 10 toes.
That's all you check.
And a pretty smile.
Yes.
Boy or girl. Which one are you pulling for?
They'll decide later. It's 2017.
I was thinking, what are you pulling for?
I want one of each. I want, you know,
because you have a young daughter right now.
I have a young daughter. Lucy's two, and she's a huge Hawks fan. I wrote that blog about taking her to a game. She loves it. She says hockey, and I think she even says Patrick Kane sometimes. She loves to watch hockey, but it'd be nice to have a son. Play a little catch.
Yeah.
Take down the games, you know. Just overall a healthy baby, but please a son.
All of Scott King's work, by the way, can be that he mentioned there, too, that he has the Chelsea blogger, which is on WGNRadio.com. Just click on that Blackhawks tab, as we mentioned before, Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. And we are taking live questions today. So if you go there right now, it wouldn't be live at that time by the time you read this, but we just posted a question out there. So if you would like to interact with the show today or interact anytime, just Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. So the Blackhawks made their first visit to Sin City. The Golden Knights are officially NHL team, and they're officially good.
Yes, they are.
First team ever, first expansion team ever to start 7-1. Pretty impressive.
To win their seven out of their first eight games.
That's really impressive.
Yeah,
and they were as good as advertised. They run a tight ship. I guess that would be the best way to describe it. They looked clean. They look efficient, and. You know, I hate to say it, but a fun team to watch, and it's early on in the season, and you never know what's going to happen, but that's going to be a tough team down the road.
They're a fun team to watch, and they're a fun team to root for, maybe even more. I mean, you know, you talk about the tragedy that happened there and the way that the team addresses it, and, you know, Derek Englund, right before the first home game, gave a great speech, kind of got the fans all excited, mm-hmm. and the fans in Vegas, they embraced the team right away, and they're playing extremely well. I think they got – I was joking with someone during the draft. I'm like, they have a good team, you know. So I think they got a good team on paper, and I think everyone, you know, you see the effort is there every second whoever's on the ice for the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, the Blackhawks made history in playing in Vegas for the first time last night. I don't think it was the kind of history that they would want to look back on, though.
No.
Because they couldn't match the Golden Knights' effort that was there every shift, every minute. The Hawks just couldn't match it. And, you know, someone who I thought played really well last night scored right away in the first period, and you got to build off of that. Is John Hayden's goal. It was great. He made a really
It was three and a half minutes into the game.
Exactly.
That's exactly how you want to start off a game. You know, you get the momentum and then gave it right back.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you get your fourth line scoring right away. It's a guy, he's tough. I was talking with one of the fans on Twitter of the show that I think his hands and his feet got better. A fan said he looks faster. I think his hands and his feet and his skating, I think he looks great. I think it's why he's getting more ice time. But he made a great play to take the puck away and score right away. And it was a shorthanded goal. So, I mean, you get a shorty right away, you got to build off that momentum, and they didn't. They just couldn't match the Golden Knights' effort. And Taves, after the game, pointed to something maybe a little more specific that you kind of notice and makes sense, is that the Hawks, when they get in the offensive zone, they make like one play and then the puck's turned over. Then it's in their end. So it's a possession issue. It's a sustaining momentum on the forecheck issue. And you wouldn't have guessed that this would be a problem right now, because you look at those first two games, 10-1 beat defending champs. Then they beat 5-1. They beat Columbus, another good team. So, yeah, those teams both were on the second night of back-to-backs. But, you know, teams are used to back-to-backs. The Hawks play better usually in their second game of back-to-backs. So you'd think with all the scoring the Hawks did in the first two games that we would not be having these issues with possession. And they just couldn't get it going.
Yeah, and they were outshot again last night too.
Yeah, and their penalty kill had been great, and they allowed two goals, two power play goals last night. So it took a little dip there.
And that was after, you know, last week when they did the shift in the power play situation and what was going on there.
Yeah, because the power play came up empty.
It's been a reoccurring issue for the Blackhawks the past couple of seasons.
Yeah.
It has been special teams.
The thing is, last year was PK was an issue too, but it already looked much better this year. Just, you know, hopefully that they take last night as an example of, okay, we need to step it up.
Yeah.
And they do that.
The young goalie for the Golden Knights, Oscar Donsk, he had a really good game. I mean, 29 or 30 saves, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he looked pretty good.
He looked great.
I don't even think we've mentioned the score. The Blackhawks lost 4-2.
4-2. And they were lucky to get that second goal. Kane scored. You know, just a couple minutes left, and he has on the bright side, Patrick Kane has a 6-game point streak. So that's not bad. But
I mean, he was, I wouldn't say silent the first few games of the season, but it was noticeable that he wasn't quite there yet, and it seems like he's starting to pick it up a little bit.
He lost a little momentum when Schmaltz was hurt. You know, he got a couple points, obviously, to have the point streak, but he wants to produce more. So, and Quinville hinted there's probably going to be line changes, so we'll see what happens.
And, you know, another thing that kind of came out was that Scott Bowman was talking a little bit, and, you know, people, of course, already.
Scott?
Or what did I say? Scott. I said Scott. I meant Stan.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's a son.
He's a genius.
Yeah, he works. He's a GM. He's pretty good at it. Three cups. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, he was asked about, you know, already October 25th, we're talking about the trade deadline, you know, that's because they do have a little bit of cap space still. Are you going to make a move? And, you know, he said at this point they're not itching, but why would you be itching? It's only eight games into the season.
Yeah, I think people.
Nine games.
When you see a couple games where the other team is out playing the Hawks and, you know, they're 5-3-2 now, everyone just always expects them to be great with the core players they still have and getting Saad and Sharp back. And I don't think, I definitely don't think you need a trade. You look at the camp guys had, the new guys had. You look at those first couple games, and just the fact that they have a decent 8-man defensive rotation now. All those guys can play, and they can play fairly well. I think everyone had a bad game last night, you know, D and forwards, minus Hayden. Troy Murray actually said Crawford was terrific.
I was going to say, what did you think of Crawford?
Because I thought he was okay. I wouldn't agree.
He also had 29 saves, but he didn't look electric to me.
Troy Murray won a Stanley Cup. He knows more about hockey than I do, but
I think that's a safe bet.
But, you know, I got to cover my bases. But I thought he was juggling.
That's a compliment, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just sick.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's Troy Murray.
It's the great Troy Murray.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that Crawford is juggling the puck a little bit. He didn't look like himself. You know, I think what Troy's saying, though, is that Crawford, after a couple of those goals, maybe you can only blame one on him. I mean, it's some guys had some pretty open chances on a power play for two of those goals that the Hawks allowed. So that's two right there. One, the one he was juggling and went behind him, I would put on him. Another one, I think a guy wasn't covered properly. So I think what Troy's talking about is that he played better in the third period and gave them a chance to come back and win, which Crawford always does. When he lets in a couple, he always battles back.
Yeah.
And I've written about that. So I thought he was okay, but I think he's been terrific all season. Heading into last night, he was second in goals against and save percentage. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Oh, yeah.
And Forsberg's been good backing him up.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it with Chris Bolton last week about how impressive the goaltending has been this year. You know, it happened. It's one game. It's not the biggest deal. It's just you would have liked to have gone into Sin City for the first time and made an impression on a team that was red hot coming in. If you would have been able to stop them or stop their momentum at all, but they're cruising. I mean, what did you think before I even forget about it?
Yeah,
because it just popped in my head. The jerseys, you digging them?
I liked. I was telling my wife last night because she thinks it's interesting. There's a team in Vegas now. I think the jerseys I liked at first, but I didn't like the red line. Now I'm sold. I like the jerseys.
I think they're pretty
nice,
cool.
They're
too.
Nice jerseys.
Yeah,
the logo is cool. I like it. I just a little bit like with the outline is a little bit reminds me of the Kings too much.
A little bit. Yeah, I can see that.
The only thing that bugs me. But I think it's a pretty good logo. Golden Knights is a decent name, but I think there should be some kind of Vegas connotation with the name.
Now, I know that it seems like the city has embraced the team, and particularly with all the events that have happened, you know, obviously the horrible events that happened last month there. And it's amazing to me, though, that I would say, 80 to 90% of the fans last night were Blackhawks fans? They were loud.
I don't know if it sold out last night, but people were tweeting like, "Hey, maybe there's 10,000 Blackhawks fans here." So maybe that is the
insane
percentage.
And what is that? The T-Mobile Arena?
T-Mobile Arena,
where
Mayweather and McGregor was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. What do you think of that fight, by the way?
I thought McGregor did well. I thought
better than expected.
Yeah, you know, I hear everyone giving credit to Mayweather's strategy. Why do you need to weather punches from a guy who's never boxed before, though? Why are you waiting? He should have knocked him out right away.
I mean, he's always been a defensive fighter.
Yeah, but you're fighting a guy who's never boxed before.
Yeah,
you should mop the floor with him. So I thought McGregor did really well. I think he landed a few good ones.
And the TKO was the right call at the time.
It was the right call. He was getting exhausted.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. That man you just heard is Scott King. You can follow him at Scott King Media on Twitter. I am Mike Jacobson. I work here at WGN Radio as well. You can follow me at Jacobson Radio. Follow us on Facebook, or I should say like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. You ready? Head out west?
I'm ready. Let's go.
It's time for the Rockford Report. We check in with our friend, Brittany Tulis, who is working out there for the foreseeable future. Brittany, what's going on?
Good. How are you guys?
A little chilly.
It's
to be
cold.
Honest with you.
I'm wearing a coat.
Is it as cold as it is in Rockford as it is here in Chicago?
I think it's worse because there's less buildings, so the wind kind of cuts through you even more.
Oh, that sounds scary. That sounds like a nightmare.
It kind of does. It kind of does.
And I work in an ice rink, so I'm always cold.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't help the situation at all, that whole slab of ice thing that you're around all the time. Speaking of that slab of ice, the Ice Hogs, they're off to a hot start. Kidney 5-1-0.
Way better than anybody's expected.
Yeah, who've been the biggest contributors out there for people that don't know that much about the Ice Hogs?
To be honest, it's been kind of like a team effort. Our goaltending has been outstanding. I think it has to do with like the style of play that Colleton has introduced, like just playing with pace. Our guys are moving up and down the ice really quick, passing the puck really quick and really well, just generating a lot of chances. Our scoring is kind of evenly distributed. So it's not like one guy putting them all in. It's kind of anybody from anywhere. We have some blue liners that have put some in. We've had some rookies, some vets. It's everybody.
We were talking with you before, Brittany, about Vinny Hinostroza. I think maybe it was the first game or two he kind of had a slow start. And you said maybe, you know, he was just frustrated to have to even be down there. But he's obviously gotten real hot. I know he's on a point streak. How many games is it now, and how many goals and assists does he have?
He's on a 5-game point streak. So far he has 9 points this season. So 4 goals, 5 assists.
Not bad.
And he got 5 of the points this past weekend. We had 3 games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and he looked like a completely different player.
Does that kind of, is that contagious? You see everyone else, I mean, they can't have this kind of record without everyone playing well and there being good chemistry.
I think so. It's, we said he was a little frustrated, but I think when he saw that everyone else was kind of buying into it and just kind of leaving it all out there, he just joined in, and it's paid off for him and the team. If he's been playing amazing, I would not be surprised if he left us at some point, if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I think you're right. You talked about the goaltending early on. Can you give us some background on J.F. Berube? And has most of that been him? Has he been getting most of the starts?
Yeah, he has 4 starts out of the 6 games we've played, and he'll be starting tonight in Iowa when we play. He is 26 from Quebec, and he was with the Islanders last year as their backup goalie, but only played about 14 games. But he's a Calder Cup winner. He won with the the Manchester Monarchs in like 2015. So he's a seasoned vet. He's had some time between the pipes and is just phenomenal.
I think he's got 8 shutouts in the AHL and 2 were this season. So yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know he had that much NHL experience.
Any more tidbits or nuggets for us before we let you go?
I'm just really looking forward to seeing how they do. I hope they keep this up, but I hope the Hawks don't start kicking at us either to take some people.
Start poaching away, some ice hogs.
You see some bags get packed.
But that's that's what's so weird about the AHL, because you want your team obviously to do good, but then at the same time you want them to do good so you can pick away from their roster. You know what I mean? So it's like and then your team ends up getting worse because you're having worse players playing on the ice and rocker. It's kind of
be good all season, and then come playoff time they clean you out, and then you're
So it is kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, it would be like if one of the bigger Blackhawks podcasts came and grabbed Mike for me. I don't know what I would do.
No.
I'd just be in the studio crying by myself.
That would be depressing. Not only for
contract,
you. But
we can't, sorry.
We have a contract.
Yeah, we just signed that 6-year deal. So Tribune Media Company. So, but thanks again, Brett. We will definitely catch up with you again next week for the another edition of the Rockford Report.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you guys then.
All right. Thanks,
Brittany.
Brittany from the beautiful city of Rockford, Illinois. But that's, a 5-1-0 start. That's impressive.
That's really good.
Yeah. I like it.
And for the guys who are trying to be on the Hawks this year, too, at some point, like Hinostroza.
I like it. It's Vinny, that's a really nice tidbit/nugget to hear about him.
For sure.
That he's playing so well. Because a lot of, let's be honest, most fans, even, I would say diehard fans, they kind of lose track of these guys once they head out west.
You're paying attention to the team that's in front of you and on your TV and on WGN radio.
Now,
when
you were, when you're with Vinny, when he's on the ice, when you see him, every other night, then you pay attention more. But once he gets shipped out, it's kind of like even with Brian Bickle. Once he went out west, maybe a first couple games you keep track of them, but then after that, you kind of just forget.
No, it's true. It's a tough thing.
Yeah. So we'll, just keep an eye on it, and that's what's so nice about having Brittany out there being our eyes, because she sees every single game being an intern for the team. So we will continue to check in with her each and every week. Some fan questions here, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. I know we've got one here, and it is, we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, the fourth line. It came on strong in the Vegas game. We saw that John Hayden had that first goal, which they were hoping to build momentum off, unfortunately did not. But, how important is it to have that fourth line clicking on all cylinders?
It's great. When you look back at the 3 cups the Hawks have won, it's because they're rolling 4 lines. And I think it's actually before the Arizona game, people were kind of asking Q about the fourth line, because they had been playing with energy prior to last week. They were. And then in Arizona, you see Wingles get his first goal as a Hawk. And little Tommy Wingles, he's not little by any means, but he gets a goal and an assist. And he actually, there's an empty netter. He actually had a goal taken away, a controversial goal taken away from him in that game, too.
That's
so
right.
The hockey gods were good to him. But he was playing great, and he actually got Lance Boma his first goal as a Hawk, too, I believe, in that Arizona game. So they're playing great then, and you have Hayden try to set the table at least last night. So, no, it's really important. When you're doing well, it's because you're rolling 4 lines and dominating that way, and that helps your possession.
We throw out the phone number to the studio here on facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy, and it looks like we have ourselves a caller, so we're going to actually put them up really quick. So if you want to distract and, talk over me so we don't have any dead air here while I put this call up.
Beautiful blue skies today. Nice. About 45. So stay with us here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. This is my morning radio voice. Friendly,
hello?
Hello.
And there it is. We got our first caller here calling into the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. What's your name? Who are you from? Where are you from? Or I can't talk. Who are you?
Identify yourself, sir or madam.
I'm Seth. I'm from Chicago.
John, what's going on, my man? Thanks for listening to the podcast, first and foremost. And what do you got for us today?
My name is Seth.
What did I say? Sorry. I said John?
I thought I might have heard John, too.
Let's reset that. Hey, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it, Seth. What do you got for us today?
All right. First off, what can the Hawks do to limit the offensive zone time and, two, get cleaner exits through the neutral zone? Because it seems to me like what we need to do is we need to pick up a heady, fast D-man, because the guys in the back are just not getting it done. We're just not enough pressure in the other team's offensive zone, too much time in our zone, and the neutral zone is just awful.
Yeah, no, you addressed a couple of things there. I think first,
I think, Seth, the
D have been pretty good. Like I said, it's a good 8-man rotation. For the most part, they've been doing their job. They've been getting the puck to the forwards. You know, maybe if you look at the last couple of games, there's been a turnover here or there in trying to exit the zone. But for the most part, they've been fine. I think it's more, getting the puck in deep and trying to win those battles. I think they've been losing some battles, and when they get in the offensive zone, I think the passing's been a little off. I think those need to be more on the tape. And when you look at the first two games, you had guys like Brandon Saad just crashing in net, you know, creating traffic and havoc. And I think you got to do that. I think when you get traffic and your passes are on the tape, you're going to be able to set up plays. And also they just need to, you know, just basically they just need to hang on to the puck better. They got to not give it away so much and not turn it over. They have to be a little more careful. Maybe it's like when they're not doing well on the power play, they're trying to do a little too much, trying to be a little too fancy. And sometimes, you know, they're passing it to areas where there's not even a Hawk there when you look at the last couple of games. So I think they just need to be a little more careful with the puck and protecting it at the same time, crash that nut.
Yeah, I think even the veterans are making some questionable passes, you know, going east-west up the ice, and it's leading to some really bad turnovers.
It's been a little bit sloppy at times. No, there's no question about it.
The breakaways aren't even that bad. I think Crow's been standing tall. He's been stopping the puck on the breakaways, the really dangerous stuff. The problem is then that the opposing team gains possession for a minute after those breakaways, and that's when you see those dirty goals go in.
Yeah. Seth, I take it you saw the game last night?
I did, yeah.
So what do you make of those two power play goals? For me, it looks like it was kind of, you know, sometimes there's a lot going on behind the net and it's kind of blown coverage. Do you think that those are two goals that maybe if a guy was just covered? I mean, those are hard to put on Crawford, you know. They're on a power play and guys are open.
One, you know, the guy that was between the hash marks on, I think, of the first one, that was just totally blown coverage. And I believe both of those came towards the end of the power play. But it seems like, especially that second one, I mean, that was just an amazing shot right over Crow's shoulder.
I agree with that. That's really, really hard to defend for a goalie. You can't get a stick on it. You can't get a glove on it. Yeah.
I'm not going to put that on Crow, but, you know, that was what? There was, 8 seconds left in the power play? You know, it was just the guys were a little gassed, and it comes down to exiting the zone again. You know, this is why I think that the big pickup should be a fast, heady defenseman who could be on the PK and who could step in. And I'm not saying the PK is bad. The PK has been pretty amazing to consider, but you know, you look at where they falter, and it just seems to be that missed coverage, that just that one split second where they're just not in the right position. And I think if you had just one more guy, Seabrook is not good enough right now. I'm not going to say Seabrook's bad. Obviously he's got his lineage, but I mean, he has made some really, really out of position plays. And if we had somebody else, I think, to sort of get on that coverage and clear those pucks and be good, better positionally, we're going to reduce the amount of time that we're playing on our end. It's just too much. I mean, our shots against are just ridiculous this season. And it's just not a sustainable way. I really like the forwards. I think there's a big recipe for success, but got to get better in our own zone. We got to get through that neutral zone. You look at what the neutral zone did to us in the Predator series. I mean, it's just really bad. We got to clean that up. We got to get some offensive zone time here.
Some good stuff from Seth. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
appreciate
no problem, guys. Thanks
for listening. Yeah, we should have him on as a regular guest.
Yeah, he knew his stuff.
Seth getting it done.
He knew his stuff. And I like guys that he's not even complaining. He's just pointing out what he thought are holes. I like listeners or callers who are specific about why, you know, someone needs to play better. He had specifics. He knows the game. So thank you, Seth.
No, that was great. So before we go here, I wanted to talk about something a little bit more, a little bit off the ice, I guess you would say. Something pretty fun that you did last week, and a lot of media members did this. So they have this new, for people that are in the suburbs or live downtown and don't know about it, at the Broadcasting Museum, they have this new exhibit for Saturday Night Live, and they've got all sorts of cool stuff. They have the Weekend Update Desk. It's a museum, you know, celebrating Saturday Night Live. And they've got, I saw great photos from you, and you actually wrote a piece for WGNRadio.com as well. But what was your favorite part? I saw you near the Matt Foley jacket. They had the Matt Foley jacket, you know, in a van down by the river guy. They had just all sorts of cool props. But, I mean, if you had to narrow it down, what's your top three things that you liked the most there?
Well, you might be like me, Mike, because we're the same age. My guys were the early 90s guys.
Yeah, that's
your Sandler, your Farley. And I got to interview Tim Meadows and ask him about that.
Oh, cool. He's really a Chicago guy.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, look, you see the Matt Foley suit, and they were brilliant because they had the mannequin in that, like, lurching kind of pose, like he's about to fall on a coffee table. So I thought the Matt Foley.
One of the best skits of all time.
Yeah, I did.
It really is.
I did a top five, basically, items or attractions there for Chicago Magazine you can find on Google. I think Matt Foley was one of them. That's got to be in my top three. I liked, not only did they have Norm MacDonald's Turd Ferguson costume, but they had like the Jeopardy set next to it. So that's that might be my number three or number two. My number one, and this was when I just thought it was a replica, is the Weekend Update desk. And I thought it was modeled after the Jimmy Fallon, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler years, those guys, because you could actually have your picture taken with it. And they email it to you, or you get it printed on the spot. And I learned later it's the actual desk from when those guys are behind the desk. So,
wow.
Yeah, I got to sit behind it and got a picture. I tried out a joke, but there's construction going on.
So they were able to ship that all the way here,
dude,
one piece.
I'm telling you.
Well, I'm sure it comes in a couple pieces.
If anyone is a fan of SNL, any years, they have stuff from literally every generation, every cast. They have over 500 artifacts. I consider myself an amateur SNL historian, and I was so impressed by the exhibit. It was awesome.
Well, I mean, I even watched, I know back now, this is dating myself too, but my parents used to have the VHS tapes of like the best of
Belushi,
the 70s, the best of the
80s. For sure.
And it was cool to go back and watch those. I remember the 90s, the Matt Foley's, the all the Adam Sandler.
They got
bits.
Opera Man costume.
What was the Boy Scout? He was the Boy Scout leader.
Canteen Boy.
Or Canteen Boy. That was with him and Alec Baldwin.
Before Alec Baldwin was Trump, he was a very funny scout leader.
The countless number of Mike Myers skits that he had. And Phil Hartman, I still think, is one of the best, if not the
most underrated, you could argue, the best cast member. I think Farley takes the cake in it, but Phil Hartman you could use in any sketch to do anything.
They had to have something with the super fans, I assume.
Yeah. They actually had like fake super fans show up during the press conference.
That sounds about right. So where can people find that piece that you wrote about it?
ChicagoMagazine.com. I think it's still under their culture and arts section, but it's on my Twitter too, at Scott King.
And then I thought it was on WGNRadio.com too.
Oh, sorry. No, I did more of a like just kind of basic review.
Yeah, like an entertainment
in a photo gallery.
Cool.
For WGNRadio.com. Yeah.
So WGNRadio.com, or you can find it on your Twitter page at Scott King Radio or at Scott King Media, or you can find it also in Chicago Mag. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, man. Good. Nice to have the fans call in.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, Seth was I like well-informed fans, not someone, you know, what they should get grit of Q, you know, the 5-3 start.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, we're not getting them after like 10 beers like Bowden's having to do now, like Judd did for so many years.
I hope not at 11:30 in the morning.
You never know.
We got bigger issues, though. Once again, we'll do it again next week. We'll figure out a time. Probably we try to do it on each and every Wednesday, but we will we'll definitely keep you posted on what we will do next week. It'll probably be Tuesday or Wednesday. But either way, you can follow us, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. That's the easiest way. Like us, follow us, love us. Scott King Media. I am at Jacobson Radio, WGNRadio.com/Blackhawks. Till next week, we'll talk to you then.